Broadcasting nationwide and coast to coast, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American.
From the Liberty University Broadcast Studio, it's Todd Starnes.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to Hour 2 of The Big Show. Great to have you with us today, broadcasting from our Southern Command here in Memphis, Tennessee, along the banks of the mighty Mississippi River. Hope you're doing good. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. Now, as we mentioned in the first hour of the show, big news coming out of the Supreme Court, yet another blow for freedom-loving patriots as so-called conservative justices side with the liberals. Chief Justice John Roberts today siding with the liberals to deliver a stunning blow to the Trump administration on this issue of DACA kids. These are the children of the illegal aliens living among us. Well, on the Liberty University Newsmaker line, a good friend of this program, great American patriot, Congressman Andy Biggs, chairman of the House Freedom Caucus. Congressman, good to have you with us today. Hello, Congressman.
Todd, hello, you got me?
Congressman, we got you loud and clear.
Okay, you had me nervous there.
Well, you know what it is? I think we're getting some infiltration from the nation of Chaz. I don't know. It's
wait a second. They can't even put out their own dumpster fire. So
that's true. Well, there are a lot of dumpster fires over there.
Yeah. You're not referring to the communal garden spot of Seattle, are you?
Oh, my goodness. You know, I feel bad for those folks, but there are fortunately humanitarian efforts underway to keep them fed and watered and apparently high on weed. So there you go.
Yeah, absolutely.
Congressman, good to have you with us. Want to get your reaction to what happened up at the Supreme Court today.
Well, first of all, Roberts has been a disaster for years. So I guess it wasn't overly surprising. But here's the interesting thing about it. All nine of them, because you had the five in the majority opinion, then you had the four dissents, all agreed President Trump and his administration can rescind the order, not even an order, this policy implemented by the Obama administration. And so that's a good point. The crazy point is, and this shows how far Roberts has fallen, is he basically struck down the Trump administration's implementation of the rescission because he said, oh, you know, you didn't follow the rules to rescind. And there's a specific statute that he cited. Well, guess what? The Obama administration didn't follow that statutory requirement to implement DACA. So it was just a ridiculous, horrible decision. It reveals how bad a court can be and why we need better justices, better judges.
This is just mind blowing here. And going back to President Obama's original decision back in 2012, as you point out here, Congressman, only Congress has the power to establish the uniform rule of naturalization. This is not something that Obama had the power to do when he gave temporary amnesty to thousands of these illegals.
No, that's exactly right. It's right in the Constitution. It's really clear. It's in Article 1 of the Constitution. That's a legislative power. Now, I would say the other thing, too, is people keep talking about DACA kids. Guess what? None of these folks are kids anymore. They're all adults. Many of them are well into their 30s, and it's just mind-blowing. And I've never met somebody who has asserted that they have a DACA right that didn't want their parents or their siblings or even auntie or grandma to come in ostensibly under DACA. So people keep saying, oh, this is it's only 700,000 to 800,000 people. It isn't only 700,000 to 800,000 people. This quickly moves up into the multiple millions of people that they want to give amnesty to.
On the Newsmaker line, Congressman and Andy Biggs, chairman of the House Freedom Caucus. Congressman, how concerned are you, especially in light of what happened earlier with Justice Gorsuch siding with the liberal justices? How concerned are you about this court? And it seems to me that we're dealing with we still have a liberal majority on the bench right now.
Yeah, I am really concerned just strikingly honest here. I am concerned because Title VII law that was reinvented and reinterpreted in such a way they mangled it. The law has nothing to do with the transgender issue that was before it. The fact that Gorsuch wrote that opinion is really concerning, ought to be concerning to all Americans who care about their freedoms going forward, especially religious freedom and liberty.
And again, I'm not blaming the president here. The president was certainly relying on expert opinion within his administration, you know, people he trusted. And, you know, as we pointed out earlier, it's our understanding that the vice president was the guy that said Gorsuch is the real deal. He's rock solid. And Trump made his decision based on that. But Congressman, going back to 2017, you know, I was getting a lot of blowback because I was raising the alarm bells saying, hey, wait a second, something's not adding up here. And, you know, well, they said, well, you just have to stay in your place. You're not a team player. You've got to get on board. Well, you know what? Here we are now. What are we going to do? And my bigger concern here, Congressman, is a lot of people are out there. They voted for this president because of the courts. And if those court picks are going wobbly, I'm afraid those voters are going to go wobbly.
That does give me a real pause for concern. And you're right. There were some who said, look, Gorsuch may not be the staunchest conservative. There were a couple of others on that list that the Federalists and others put together that I would have preferred. I hope that they will be at the top. You know, and I don't blame President Trump either. I mean, he's getting advice from people who are telling him that this person's going to be a textualist. Gorsuch thinks he's a textualist. He is not a textualist based on that ruling. But I will just say one thing that gives me some measure of happiness is that President Trump has basically rebuilt the district courts and working on the appellate courts at the federal level. And that, I mean, he is, I think the number is over 270 now, something like 270 federal judges have been confirmed that he has nominated. That's remarkable. The Ninth Circuit, more than half the judges now have been appointed by President Trump. But that district's so big, it's still a hugely problematic district. So there's going to be some real benefit there. But for the generational changing cases, they get to the Supreme Court. And don't forget, the other issue that we had is we had the Supreme Court refusing to accept certain cases in the last few weeks.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. And I mean, you're right. There is a long and very concerning laundry list of stuff coming out of that Supreme Court. I want to switch gears if we can. You know, this John Bolton book coming out. And I loved what they had someone on Fox earlier today and called it Deep Swamp Revenge Porn. That's what they called Bolton's book.
Well, that's really what it is. I mean, Bolton was, he said so many nice things about the president when he was working for the president. And you know, some of us didn't really like the appointment to begin with because Bolton is one of the hugest war hawks that you have. And I'm not a war hawk. I'm a let's stop these endless wars kind of guy. And so Bolton was not that kind of guy, but he was, you know, the president was trying to work with him and deal with him. And for him to say, to make up this garbage about, you know, he was giving China deals on agriculture and we were cutting these deals. Guess what? The ag states were demanding deals with China because the president had placed these massive tariffs to punish China. The president's been hard on China. He's still trying to get harder, but he's fighting the deep state swamp people like Bolton. where Bolton thought that the president wasn't harsh enough, I suppose, is that Bolton would have liked to see us go to war everywhere, all over the world.
So here's my takeaway from this, Congressman. Let's assume, just for the sake of argument, that every single thing that Bolton wrote in his book is true. Let's just assume that, and I don't believe any of it's true, but just for the sake of argument. This goes to the heart of his character, who he really is. And I was been a long time admirer of Bolton. But ultimately, what we have here is a guy. So if, in fact, all of this is true, we're talking about scandalous behavior in the White House. We're talking about treasonous behavior in the White House. We're talking about criminal activity in the White House. But instead of doing his duty as an American citizen and going and either reporting this to whoever needed to know about it, or going and calling a national press conference and saying, I'm leaving my post at the White House and here are the reasons why. He did not do that, Congressman. What he did was sacrifice American safety. If he truly believed everything that book is true, then he was willing to sacrifice our security as a country for a book deal. That's sleazy in my estimation.
Well, you're 100% right. The way I look at it is, if you had a problem with the commander-in-chief, or if you felt he was violating his oath of office in any way or potentially putting us at risk, you had an obligation to do something different than what you did. And what he did is exactly what you said. He stayed long enough to maximize a book deal, wrote a sleazy a book to try to undermine the president, and he's going to try to make it all the way through retirement off the proceeds of this book. I hope it falls flat on its face.
Yeah, me too. All right, Congressman, we're going to have to leave it there. Good hearing from you.
Good to be with you, Todd, as always. Thanks.
Congressman Andy Biggs, folks, great American patriot right there. Good guy as well. But, yeah, seriously, I mean, if you are an American citizen, a red-blooded, patriotic American citizen, and you see treasonous things happening in the White House, you have an obligation to go out there and notify the FBI, the Secret Service. You don't have an obligation to go out there and try to get some sort of a book deal. That's sleazy in my estimation. All right, got to take a break here. We're going to go to the phones. Our good friend Connor from Boston coming up, plus your calls, 844-747-8868. Toll-free number, 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
Let's get right back to the phone lines. Let's go to Connor, our good friend Connor in Boston, America's favorite millennial. Connor, how's
Todd
it going
Starnes.
Up here today?
Todd Starnes, it is going great up here today. Things are starting to get back to normal, which I'm loving. I'm out. So I think the country's headed in a good direction as far as
now,
I
know. What is normal? What is normal for you guys up in Boston? Is that like having a lobster roll or going to Fenway Park?
I don't know, lobster. I'm not that rich, Todd.
fruit roll up? I don't know.
Exactly. Just being able to go outside, really, and being able to, you know, go to restaurants and, you know, they have, patio, outdoor seating right now where you can go out again. So things are starting to get a little bit back to normal, and every little win I will take right now, because it has been a pretty tough last few months when it comes to being inside.
Yeah, I'm with you. You know what I did yesterday, Connor? I got to tell you what I did yesterday. It's been a long time since I've actually gone to a restaurant and actually eaten my meal in the restaurant. And So I told everybody on the show yesterday, I was heading to a place over in the Cooper Young District in Memphis, which is where all the millennial leftists live. It's one of the hipster areas of Memphis. And there's a great place called Hattie B's, which is a hot chicken joint. Have you had the hot chicken?
Todd, I love hot chicken. I'm going to have to go if I'm in Memphis sometime.
Oh, Connor, if you're down here, I'll let you. That's right. It was It was very delicious. I got to the medium heat, which was just enough for me. I didn't want to get to the you know, the mother clucker. I think it was. I don't know what the mother clucker was. The hottest of all the chickens. But
Todd, you're making me very hungry over here. I'm gonna have to like just hop on a flight and just jump down to Memphis like right
Connor,
now.
Connor, we'll pick you up. Look, we'll send an Uber. We'll pick you up and we'll have a space reserved for us. That being said, I think you're right. There's something to this kind of life getting back to normal, sitting down, acting, you know, acting civilized. Nobody's burning anything down here in Memphis. It was just a pleasant day.
Yeah, Todd, and I think people are starting to realize that the way the mainstream media hyped up this virus was just unacceptable. It's like we can live with this virus and just take safety precautions. It's like we can protect our people who are most vulnerable and still open up the country in a safe way. You know, we don't necessarily have to go into the fetal position until we find a vaccine for this thing. It's like we need to be able to move on with our lives, get the economy humming again, and, you know, just get moving. I mean, we cannot live like that. You know, it just does not make sense.
No, it doesn't. Look, I know you wanted to weigh in on this DACA court ruling for earlier today.
This is true, Todd. You know what? I was incredibly disappointed to see the ruling on that. I was completely shocked by Judge Gorsuch and just the decision on that. Just when it comes to DACA, Todd, it is having American citizenship is winning the lottery in life. It really is. And I would want that for every single person who wants it. But they have to do it the right way. You cannot just show up in a country, no matter the circumstances, and just expect citizenship. It's like you have to go through the channels that every other single person goes through, that my ancestors went through. You can't just skip the line. It's like, with that being said, it's like we're a country of compassion. It's like we want to help as much as we can, but we have to know our limits. It's like we cannot just have every single person just showing up here and to be able to run our country and to be able to move in our country and, you know, have our, you know, not be able to support these people. It's like we need to do it the correct way and they need to go through the proper channels. And the fact that the Supreme Court could not see this issue for what it is just incredibly troubling and disappointing.
Well, look, we've known that Roberts is a leftist going all the way back to Obamacare. But this is, again, this illustrates why Donald John Trump got elected in the first place. Because even with George W. Bush, who got us involved in a war we had no business getting involved in, and I'm talking about Iraq, George W. Bush is an establishment Republican at his heart, and he is a social liberal. And that's evidenced by who he originally wanted to put on the court in the first place.
That's very true, you know, and, you know, I guess when you see that he was an appointment of George W. Bush, I mean, that says it all right then and there. But when it comes down to just what Obama did with DACA, I mean, from the start, it just was completely wrong and completely against the Constitution. And he knew that. Otherwise, he would have, you know, if he wanted to change the law, he would have pushed that issue, but he knew he never would have gotten it passed.
Yeah, there you go.
It just never would have flown. That's just the kind of person that Barack Obama was. I mean, he wasn't a president. He was just an empty suit, in my opinion.
All right. Connor, got to leave it there. You hear the music. So, all right. Look, Hot Chicken, Memphis, Tennessee. It's a date. Come on down. You too, ladies and gentlemen. There's plenty of space. Big picnic tables. Oh, geez, Alou. You're not going to believe this. The University of Georgia, they're banning the marching band from playing a... all right. I'll tell you about it after the break. You're not going to believe this. Folks, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. I want you to listen to this music right here. Does this song sound familiar? Frankly, my dear, I don't. Well, it's Gone with the Wind. Yeah, that's my Rhett Butler impression. Now, those of you who are University of Georgia football fans, and I don't know, we may have a few that listen to the program. We may have a few that actually work on the program. This is a very important song. And why is that? Call screener Avery, why is Tara's theme from Gone with the Wind important to the University of Georgia football community?
Yeah, because the Red Coat Band plays it. That's why it's important.
The Red Coat Band, is that like the British?
No, we're just the Georgia Bulldog Redcoats.
Oh, y'all are the Redcoats. All right. You see, in Tennessee, you know, we play Rocky Top, which is a beautiful song.
A little overrated.
Best fight song in America, Rocky Top.
Blasphemy.
Well, I've got some bad, but maybe you guys can borrow Rocky Top because you're looking for a new song, apparently.
That'll never happen.
This is the story from Fox News. The University of Georgia Marching Band has decided to end the playing of Tara's theme because of the social climate in America. The Redcoat Band director says they will no longer play Tara's theme. It's part of y'all's tradition, from what I understand. And instead, they're going to play Georgia on My Mind.
Well, we do that already. So we're just going to play it more? I don't get it. Really quick, if I may, I'm just going to go on a quick tangent right here.
No, go right ahead. I've got nothing else to do today on the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Go ahead, Avery.
I'm going to make it really quick. I was in marching band all throughout high school. I really wanted to be a part of the Redcoat Marching Band just because that's where my family has gone to school. And so, you know, I was like, I want to do something and be a part of that school. Chose not to, and now I don't think I'm ever going to, because that song that theme is not even about racism at all. It's about two people who are in love with each other but can't be with each other. So there's nothing racist about that song. Tangent over.
It doesn't matter, Avery. It really doesn't, because the acting director of the UGA Redcoat Band is a moron. Brett Baucom is his name. He's a moron. All I can tell you, I want to go ahead and bring Congressman Chuck Fleischman on from the great state of Tennessee over in the Chattanooga area, represents the eastern side of the state. And Congressman, I don't mean to put you on the spot here, but what do you think would happen if they announced they were going to ban Rocky Top at the University of Tennessee?
I don't think anybody would pay attention. They'd play Rocky Top loud and clear. And just to be the tiebreaker in all this, I bleed orange. The University of Tennessee of Knoxville is my alma mater. But Todd, I have to say this, you are probably one of the most well-liked, famous alums of Lee University, where my baby son was graduated from a little over a year ago. So go Lee Flames.
Go Flames. Yeah, it's a great, great school. We don't have a football program, which is why I pledge allegiance to the University of Tennessee there in Knoxville. But, you know, Congressman, it goes to the heart of a column you wrote. It's as if, I don't know, sports is being politicized, you know, especially football with the NFL. And you have Dr. Fauci now saying, well, we may not have football in the fall. There's nowhere for people just to go and relax and not talk about politics and just have some fun.
Well, you're so right. I've been privileged to be a member of the Republican baseball team every year since I've been in Congress. We started practice this year. The game in June has been delayed. I hope it's not been canceled. But you're absolutely right. Sports is great for America. I am particularly fond of baseball. That was the sport that I was perhaps most gifted at. But it's wonderful. That congressional game, we raise over $1 million for charity. The Washington Nationals give us their ballpark free of charge so that we can do that. And we bring that great community together. It's amazing. Whether it was Richard Nixon or President Obama, they came to visit us on the field. Perhaps the nicest thing that President Obama ever said to me after I stole two bases, he looked down at me and he said, "You're still good." And I said, "Thank you very much, Mr. President." We found something we can agree on. But Rocky Top is actually an old bluegrass song that they set to a band song, and it is beautiful, it is loud, it is vibrant, and it is part of the fabric of the great University of Tennessee at Knoxville. So I thank you.
You wrote this great column that was published by Fox News talking about how important baseball is, and we've got to get back you know, we've got to get back to baseball. Our nation has never needed baseball more than we do at this moment. And I think there's something to be said about that. It is America's favorite pastime.
It's like the perfect sport. Just think about the bases and the baseball diamond and the outfield and the strategy of the game. And of course, I'm a traditionalist. I'm a National League fan, so I'm not a big fan of the DH and some of the changes that have been made and making pitchers pitch within certain number of seconds. But still, notwithstanding that, it is a great unifying game. And I'm going to share a story with you all that should just tell you how great American baseball is. Howard High School in Chattanooga has been there for years. It's an inner city school. And for over 30, maybe 40 years, they did not have a baseball program. About 4 or 5 years ago, the students got together with the community, built a baseball field, and had their first season. I was asked to come down and play with the players. It was wonderful. I got to play with the Howard High School students, many of which were African-American, some of which were Latino. We got out there, we played baseball together, and I told them, I said, gentlemen, I'm going to wear your hat in the congressional baseball game. And that was the year that the day before the game, I was on the field when we had the horrible, horrible shootings. And my hands and knees were bloodied because I had dove into the dugout. I was not shot, but getting away from the shooter, I was injured. And that next day, I got out there on the field with my hands bandaged up, and I wore the beautiful hat of Howard High School with my University of Tennessee uniform, which I wear every year. But I wore their hat. And that was so inspiring for those young men. So Howard High School still has a baseball team. We will get our baseball back. But this is such a great unifying factor for America. It's a great sport, and we need it back.
You know, going back to 9/11 and watch this incredible ESPN 30 for 30 on that pitch that President Bush delivered at the World Series, and you know, the behind the scenes story of how that pitch happened and why it was so important to the nation. I believe, correct me if I'm wrong here, the president threw a strike that day.
He did throw a strike, and somebody, I saw that clip. And right before he threw it, they kept telling him, look, if you bounce that ball to the plate, if you don't throw a strike, and of course, Bush is a baseball aficionado, as was his dad. I can remember my first talk with the former President Bush. I was a freshman then at the University of Illinois. Papa Bush, the first President Bush, was a big, big man, actually played baseball for Yale. But they told him, you've got to throw a strike, and he did. And every time I throw out a first pitch, whether it's at a Chattanooga Lookouts game or the like, I always try to remember that. And thank goodness I too throw strikes. But momentous occasion and something very important for America at that time in our country. And I think now baseball could be a great unifying influence. As I say, more and more countries are looking at baseball. I actually have a friend who has brought baseball to Egypt and has brought it to some of the younger people in Egypt. So all part of our great American influence.
What was it? Derek Jeter told the president, Mr. President, if you don't get that ball over the plate, they're going to boo you.
He sure did.
Said they'll
sure
boo
did.
You, Mr. President.
And New York fans, and I am a big, big Mets fan. I like to tease our great president about that. I think he's a Yankees fan because he's always talking about great Yankees team. But I always tell him 1969, the Miracle Mets. But be that as it may, you're absolutely right. Those New York fans are great, but they are demanding.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are. They're lovable, unlike the Philly fans. So. They're at least lovable.
I lived in Philly, and I was a New York fan. I lived in Philly for 3 years when I was a kid. I liked the Mets and the Rangers and the Knicks, and they liked the Flyers, the Phillies, and the 76ers. And I hate to tell you how many fistfights I lost on the bus stop, but that was a long, long time ago.
Well, Congressman, before we let you go, of course, a good friend of mine, dear friend of mine, major league pitcher from the Chattanooga area, Corey Guerin. He's a great American patriot, and I know the folks listening to us in our Chattanooga market just are super proud of him and the great career he's had and continues to have.
Absolutely. Well, Chattanooga and the great state of Tennessee has produced some tremendous ball players. And, of course, we're very proud of him, and we see the University of Tennessee's baseball program. Actually, SEC baseball has been very good. Lee University, your alma mater, has had a great baseball history as well. So we're producing a lot of talent. And one of the things that I have been active in, and that's why I supported Howard High School's team so much, we want to see more African-American participation in baseball. That has waned over the years, and we've had great players over the years, Willie Mays, Henry Aaron, just some tremendous, tremendous players over the years, but there has been a decrease in the amount of African-American players, so I was glad to see baseball come back to Howard High School with total community support. Now, that first year, they did not win a game, but they're alive and well, and I can't wait to get back and throw the ball out with those fine young men.
All right. Congressman, this has been a fun conversation. Great column. Folks, we're going to post a link to it in the live show blog. Congressman, thank you.
Yes, and go Rocky Top and go Vols.
All right. You got to love that. Go Vols. And what do y'all say over there, Bill Main at University of Georgia?
Yes, go Dogs. Sick of
them. Oh, yeah.
Frankly, my dear, we'll be right back.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
I mean, it really makes absolutely no sense. Why would the University of Georgia go out of their way to anger and alienate people by removing a longtime tradition, Tara's theme, the playing of Tara's theme, which was the Gone with the Wind theme song? It makes apps. Are they suggesting that Tara's theme is somehow racist? Is that what they're suggesting?
I guess so.
I mean, what's next? Are they going to ban the eating of fried chicken at the stadium?
Well, we serve Chick-fil-A at Stanford Stadium, so.
Oh, well, that's a problem. That's racist.
That's probably going away soon, yeah.
Probably so. You know, by the way, yesterday we were joking on the program about what was next after they got rid of Aunt Jemima.
Yep.
Probably shouldn't have been joking about that because I said, what did I say? They were going to go after Uncle Ben's, the rice, mm-hmm. and they were going to go after Mrs. Butterworth.
Yes.
Who was doing the nasty with Colonel Sanders during that TV commercial a couple of years ago.
Well, it was just the... The Dirty Dancing lift, yes. Famous lift.
Or Smutty Dancing, depending.
Smutty.
And then Uncle Ben got involved, and there was, like, Dirty Rice involved. I don't know.
God, I should have seen that coming.
We walked into that one.
Sticky Wicket.
Or Wild Rice, if nothing else.
Wild Rice. So now, according to the news, their Mrs. Butterworth's people have announced that they are going to reconfigure the packaging, and it will no longer be in the shapeliness. She will no longer be a shapely woman. They're telling us that's a problem. She was matronly.
Matronly, yes.
Matronly is, and so she can no longer be matronly. So they're going to get rid of the Mrs. Butterworth, you know, because the whole bottle is designed like a plump grandmother.
Yeah, yeah.
They use the word matronly.
Matronly, which
she was full figured, as they say.
Yeah, that's. Mm-hmm.
Well, if they come
Grace,
back.
Grace Baker, she's a new addition to our staff. I'm looking at her across the glass window into the control room.
Is she judging you again?
She's judging me. Yes, right now she looks very pensive. Like, where is this conversation going?
Well, maybe if they make her look like Mrs. Butterworth, look more like a swimsuit model,
Sales might go up. I don't know.
Also, if they realize that this is an entirely fictional character that has been made up by a marketing team, then maybe some people will be more mature about it. I don't know. But, I mean, I think that's asking a little bit too much to ask adults to be mature. Sorry about
that. The problem with your – look, Bill Main, I see where you're going with this, but the problem, if you're going to get like, like a Barbie-style Mrs. Butterworth, you're not going to be able to get a lot of syrup in there.
Well, that's true. That's
the whole point of having a larger, girth. You want the girth.
My grandmother has a magnet, a magnet on her refrigerator that says, never trust a skinny cook. And I'm not going to say much on that, but I'm just saying.
You trust your grandmother.
I trust my grandmother.
Does your grandmother look like Mrs. Butterworth?
No. No, she does not.
But he does trust his grandmother.
I trust my grandmother.
Yeah, there
yes.
you go. Mm-hmm.
As you should, as you're a good grandson. So look, Uncle Ben's, they're going to redo their packaging now. Mrs. Butterworth, we don't know what they're going to do there. The cream of wheat guy is going away. So no more cream of wheat guy.
There's a cream of wheat guy?
Oh, yeah. I love cream of wheat. Oh. Cream of wheat's fantastic.
Yeah, they lost me at cream, but apparently it's a big thing.
Oh, it's so good. It is delicious. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, Colonel Sanders is next. You watch. You watch.
I'm surprised if I'm being honest, out of all of these fast food chains that should be coming under fire, I'm not saying any of them should, but Colonel Sanders is the first that comes to my mind.
Mm-mm-mm. Finger-licking racist. Oh, by the way, guys, but to that point, if this happened at the University of Tennessee, the band would just play Rocky Top and Defiance, whatever the band director said.
Yeah,
we would just play it. So
yeah, that's how marching bands work. We're defiant.
You got to do what you got to do down there at Georgia, Sanford Stadium. That's all I'm saying. Yeah, but you got to do the right thing here. You got to play the song.
It will be interesting to see, though, seriously, if there's any effect from donors, if there's any change. May not be. There may not be, but I just... that's how alum vote. They vote with their dollars.
Exactly.
Avery, you know what you guys should do? Because I know your sister graduated from UGA.
Yes.
What you guys should do, just get, how many people fit in that stadium? What, 20,000?
A lot?
No, it's more than that. It's.
I mean, we're like 120, 130,000 at, UT.
But used to be 85, but I don't know how many more we've.
All right, so let's say 85,000. Yeah. What we need to do is buy 85,000 kazoos. And then at the appointed time, the entire stadium just does a kazoo version of Tara's theme. Wah, 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 wah.
It'd be a zoo, all right.
Yep.
Anyway.
That would be interesting.
Hey, by the way, some news out of Portland. Apparently, the nation of Chaz is under attack. And it's being invaded. So the Portland Police Department has announced that playtime is over and they're knocking down the barriers. So we'll keep you posted on developments out of the nation of Chaz, where apparently borders have been breached and the Portland police are restoring law and order. And hopefully a little bit of fumigation services, too. All right, stick around, folks. Another full hour of the Todd Stearns Radio Show coming your way. We'll be right back.